on reporting to the church, one of my all-time favorite subjects. So let's deal into this, and let's look at this concept of reporting to the church. What do we want to report? And the biggest question is, why do we want to report, and what's our motivation? I can remember working for A.B. Dick as a salesman. We sold printing presses, and they made us make call reports. So every Friday, you had to turn in your call reports for the week. So I decided to put down whatever I called on. And so a lot of times it was Whataburger. Sometimes it was cinema at 303 Cinema. Sometimes it was Six Flags Cinema. And for the year and a half before I became sales manager for them, I was never questioned on my call reports. So guess what that meant? Nobody looked at them. See? So that was worthless. And I've always remembered that as I've been in management. You know, what do call reports want to do? Now, I'm going to take a report this morning of your activities for the week. Is that fair enough? Okay. How many pieces of literature were given out this week? How many Bible studies were given this week? How many people helped this week? Five. Well, five over here. Wow.
Every day.
How much money was given this week to help people? Now, for young people, and I don't even know if we have any young people in here. Yeah, you all are young. That's young people. This is what we... Oh, one other. How many studied their lesson daily this week? We've got one over there. Two over here. Yeah. Well, see? Then, I don't know how you did it, but we did it in... Come on in. We did it in El Paso because we wanted to look good. So we narrowed that daily lesson study from 7 down to 5. So if you studied 5 times during the... Am I correct? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You weren't in El Paso, but that's the way it used to be. So if you had 5, then that was the same as studying your lesson every day. So why don't we do that anymore? By the way, how many remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't make this stuff up.
It forced us to lie. That's what it was.
Well, I don't know if it enforced us to lie. What it did for me was to look around for somebody I could help. You know, oh, you look like you need help. So then I would be able to say, I helped somebody. Why don't we do that anymore? Pardon?
Too busy.
We're too busy? Okay. Yes.
People would get embarrassed.
Pardon me?
People would get embarrassed.
People would get embarrassed. Okay. What else?
Nobody reads the reports?
Oh, I don't know about that one. The conference was pretty good to send out a report that last quarter we gave 532.5 Bible studies. The reason was half the person died during the Bible study, so we couldn't finish it. We had a bunch of people, you know, so we did kind of report all of this. We helped last quarter, we helped 4,200 people. Why don't we do that anymore? Should we do it?
No. It didn't affect spirituality. It didn't affect our growth.
Or some people might just go through the motions of doing it just to meet the report, and it's not from the heart.
Okay. Do you see the fallacy? Did you study your lesson every day? And then we move it down to 5 days so that we could say, yes, our church is a studying church and we have 172 people that study the use of everything. Yes?
Well, taught me to lie or finagle.
I like finagling better. I'm a salesman. I like the word finagle.
I would, Friday night, I would look at the question, and the answer was right there, so I read the answer, and blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
And I do that seven times. Yeah. So I answer.
There's an honest human being. See? That's why this class is good. It's an honest human being. It was important for you to say publicly, I studied my lesson.
Yeah, so they could sit down on the little yellow card.
I appreciate that. Did I see your hand up, Mike?
To me, I didn't study. I'll be the first to admit I didn't study my lesson 5 days. However, I read my Bible 7 days.
Yes. Yes, see? Okay. All right. Which would you rather have the motivation to say, man, I studied every day this week, or I studied because I wanted to know God? See, we owe it to take the pressure off of people to do things for accountability. Now, I'm a sales trainer, and I believe in strong accountability. I've made my living for 40 years, strong accountability. But when it comes to spiritual, when it comes to the most important thing in our life, which is to know God, accountability gets in the way. Now, in the old days when we used to have Sabbath school, and there's still lots of churches that have Sabbath school, not like us here in Arlington, and... Was that your fault that we did away with Sabbath school and went to an hour lesson study?
Well, no. When they moved out of my old building, they came into this building. That's when they did it.
Oh, okay. All right. But remember, in the most Sabbath school, and I guess they still do it around the world. I don't know. I don't attend too many churches. They used to have mission report. Remember that? I guess they still do. How many of y'all have been to a church that has traditional Sabbath school lately? I don't know if they still do it or not. Okay. All right, so it still happens. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. What did the mission report do for you?
I think it lets you know people are responding.
Okay. All right. Well, who else? What did the mission report do for you? Yes.
Until I went on a mission trip, I didn't really appreciate those stories. They were just kind of, I didn't really appreciate it. But once I was over there and actually saw...
We need two seats. We have right here in the front, or Jim will move back. Well, we got them. Three seats. I'm sorry. Learn how to count. No, two seats. I'm sorry. Okay, well, now, where was we?
I could really relate to those stories, and they meant more to me once I had some experience in another culture.
Okay, all right. Who else? Mission report, yes.
I always like the mission spotlights.
Okay.
Radios out, give everybody a visual, and they go up into those areas and see what they're doing for those people.
And what did that do for you?
I guess you learn a lot about different cultures and how they do things.
Okay.
And all
right. That's good.
It opens up your world.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, one of the things that let me recognize that we were a larger church than just small.
All right. Is that important?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's important to know that we're a worldwide church. Yes.
Our mission report was to stimulate your interest to put more money into the mission because it always ended up with a plea for more.
Okay. Okay. That's all. He got knowledge, expanded culture, big church, want money. Yes.
I think it helped me to see where the need was because sometimes for you to give, it helps if you know what you're giving for. If there's a need, sometimes you give less and you give more because you know what the need is.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, yes.
Well, of course, I grew up in the mission field.
Okay.
And to me, it's really important to know that you're part of a much larger whole and there's different, the whole world. We're part of a very worldwide organization.
That's absolutely true. Is there anything with that kind of report?
Well,
I'll read mine.
Okay.
It kind of lets you know that other people want to know the Lord too.
Okay, I think that's important. Now, I got to be careful, because what did I just give you about knowing God's ministry? A report. We're going to discuss that. Randy Mill just gave us a report on what? On his son being in Thailand. What's your motivation, Mill? Stand up.
Well, the motivation is to keep connected with the people.
Okay.
And then also to let you know that the money that's being saved is being used to help out that mission.
Okay. All right.
Which, by the way, he is working on a little video mission report that either we use it in the church mission or we'll use it here.
Okay, or both.
Just kind of give it.
Fantastic.
Give a little idea of what's going on.
Okay, very good. Now, I want your you as a class to critique his motivation. Give me three things that could motivate him to give us a report today on his son. Yes?
Number one, he has a personal relationship with that.
Is that good or bad?
That's good.
That's fantastic. Give me a second one.
I think we're here there also to, by talking about it, that we can encourage those folks.
Okay.
And I want to give you an example. Like I just came out of Brazil yesterday on a project down there. I'm doing my thing down there. I'm walking out with a whole bunch of people that I'm dealing with, and I'm walking out and I see this van right in front of the hotel we're walking out of. It has a little sign like that. It said ADRA. And I looked at it and I go, I know that's the man. And sure enough, it's the pastor. And it's like, you know what those guys need? And after a long conversation with them, they need and they want encouragement because they're on the front line.
Okay.
And I think they need encouragement. It's not just our money.
Okay. Absolutely, that's two. Name another motivation that he made appeal to. Leroy.
I'd like to know how the people are responding to the effort that they put forth to teach people the love of God.
Okay, that's absolutely important. What's another motivation that Randy has to share this morning? What's the obvious one? Money.
Jesus.
Sir? Does he need money?
Yeah.
Sure. Now, I shared with you what's going on with knowing God's ministry. We just came back from a tremendous experience at a camp meeting in Alabama. And I shared with you where we're going the next three sessions that we have. I shared with you about 3 ABN. What's my motivation? That's a fair question. What is my motivation? So, you tell me what you think it is.
Well, for me, it's the success of knowing God's ministry. Because we know where you started from and the message you had, which is not traditionally all over our churches, but how this is being received by the people that they're hearing it for the first time.
Okay. I appreciate that. That is partly my motivation. Who would like to guess, Rhett? Yes.
It's accountability. We corporately support that ministry. And the reports back to us are accountability of what that ministry is doing so that we will continue to support that ministry.
Have no ministry if it wasn't for this class. Because that's the way we started out. Said, Lord, if you want us to go somewhere, have a church call us. If you want us to go, then give us funds. We do all the work. We do all the preaching. Sue gets the tapes done. We pay not a penny. The Lord's up in your hands. You want us to go, give us a place and give us the funds. So far we haven't missed one thing. I put in $300 of my own money once, and that was it. Everything else is work. So that's our covenant with God. No money, no place to go. We get the message. So, y'all, what other reasons do I have? motivation. What do you think? Yes?
I'm sure it builds your faith when you're out there talking to people and touching their hearts. It makes you feel good that you're really, really thinking of a beautiful picture of Christ and they're seeing it for the first time because you know what that picture looks like.
Yes, absolutely. That is the motivation.
And also, you're allowing us to become a part of that ministry.
Hope so. Hope so. See? 6 years ago, you know, if y'all knew Robin, mine don't think I'm talking out of turn. But, you know, if it was going to, Robin and I were going to diagram our spiritual journey. Used to have a seminar where we did that. Very, very interesting. But anyway, it's going to be some big mountaintops and there's going to be some tremendous valleys, some sinkholes, some pig pens. We've been there in our spiritual experience. 6 years ago, Sandy Gillen caught me in the right out here and said, "I want to talk to you." Okay. And she said, "Why are you wasting your talent that God has given you?" And I didn't have an answer. And she said, "By the way, what's Rob doing? Wasting his talent." I said, believe me, there's not many times I'm ever speechless. But man, I didn't have an answer. I was just coming to Sabbath school, teaching about once every 4 or 5 weeks, like the people in the Sabbath school class, church, you know, fine, who cares? Just going about my way. I bring accountability to this class because I can't help but tell you what God has done in my life. And to think, because of you folks, that I have the privilege of going out and sharing who God is, His character, His love, and what He has promised through the Hebrew names of God that He would be. And so when I get back here, I have no other course than to share with you the good news of what's going on. And every place we go to be a blessing. We come back blessed ourselves. You know, we preached an all-night camp meeting. Just a second, We preached an all-night camp meeting. You know, preaching at 11:15 and 3 o'clock in the morning isn't exactly what I thought. Came away absolutely blessed, inspired. We had a person whose husband just retired from the General Conference call us and said, "Man, I've been looking at this names of God for years, looking for somebody like you." You see, the motivation for whatever we do has to come from what God has done in our life. I only have one message. Now, as you all know, I'm an expert on 2300-day prophecy. I've made that very, very plain. But I only have one message. Is if God can do it for me, He's going to do it for you. And that has to be the motivation. Nothing wrong with reporting. But we can't set a system up that makes you feel obligated. And then you do what this nice lady confessed to. "Well, yeah, I looked at the first question and the answer because I rose my..." You see, we're doing an injustice. Leroy.
I just want to add to that. This is done without ever going to the people and trying to sell them something, CDs, all that, and without asking for money for them.
Yeah.
That's the main part of this goal, is to present the gospel without saying, "Give me something for it."
Yeah. When we first started, we thought, well, we have materials. We worked hard on the materials. And we thought about selling $49. Certainly a bargain if you liked them. If you don't like them, it's worthless, you know. But we soon said, why are we limiting?
And so the camp meeting that we just went to, they, you know, blown away that we gave them a set of 16 CDs, a book of 15 outlines, Rob's book that he wrote, stuff for their Bible, all at absolute charge, and we gave away 214 sets of them. That's because of you. Yes?
They can sit there and they can listen to that, they can view that material for the value it is, not, is this worth $49?
That's exactly right. Or as we, you know, always, what's the hook? What are you going for? You know, and they just couldn't believe. We paid all of our expenses. The guy just kept saying, I can't believe you folks. I just can't believe you folks. But see, when we were interviewed on the radio, the interviewer, T. Marshall Kelly, blown away that everything we gave was for free. Because that's the first time he's ever been associated with the ministry. That's because of you. I have no other choice but to come and tell you what you have done, what you have created, and what you have supported. That's the motivation for reporting. Okay. Any comments? Yeah, did I see a hand? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'd just like to say that there's a very good reason why I haven't been in a Sabbath school class for many, many years. And it's because of the old Sabbath school. And the accountability, the check marks, the working your way to heaven, it was just too oppressive. And mm-hmm. So I found it impossible to enjoy a Sabbath school class. And literally, this is the first time I've walked into one in many years.
Well, we hope that you come back. I guarantee the next two speakers will be better. You know, hey, you know, I like it when people hear me first, because then they say, man, we got nowhere to go but up. So that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. Yes, Lee. Yes.
Ernie,
Lloyd.
I want you to see when you are successful, because those people who are very successful in television ministries, radio ministries, pretty soon you start seeing this huge building.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Huge ministry. Yes. Yes. You know, the little ladies are sitting in $10-$20 a month. You become your doghouse is air conditioned. If that happens, then we're going to worry about you.
I appreciate that. I tell you, it's just a privilege. You know, the whole quarter has been on witnessing. And so part of the lesson today was reporting to the church. Peter, when he had the experience with Cornelius and all of that, he came back and reported to the church. I thought the lesson, quite frankly, has been very good this quarter. I think this lesson was a little stretch as far as I'm concerned. If you have something to say of what God has done in your life to help you for other people, then you have a report. Do you get that picture? If something that God has done in your life so that you could be of value to somebody else's life, you have something to report and something to share. See? Now, I'm going to confess, for many years, I was not a mission person. Still not. Mission fields are, to me, are where? Anybody remember? Waxahachie. Waxahachie is the mission field for me, because that's about as far as I want to go as a missionary. So I was never interested in missions, never gave to missions, didn't support missions, until I went to Nameless Valley. Anybody remember Nameless Valley? Yeah. And there was a young man from Mexico they had kind of a think tank, which I had the privilege of being in. And he was a young man from Mexico. And he talked about how the 13th Sabbath offering came to Mexico, and how they started out, and in a little town that he lived in, they had 10 Adventist churches. And he came into the Seventh-day Adventist through one of those churches. And he was, you know, just had tears in his eyes. Thank you, America, for what you've done. Changed my entire outlook on missions. Because I heard the report. I heard where a guy preaches and baptizes 432,000 in one afternoon, if you know what I'm saying, see? But it did nothing for me till I saw a live human being touched what we had done with our 13th Sabbath offering. So it changed my mind, broadened my field. So now I give money for Thailand. I still won't go any further than Waxahachie as a missionary. But I believe in supporting it financially. What the world is waiting for is not a message about what we believe doctrinally, not a message of how we react on certain topics, not a message on are we for homosexuality or against it? Are we for abortion or against it? Are we for this or against it? Or are we for this or against it? What they're waiting for is a message that you can give them of what God has done in your life. And if He's done it for me, He will do it for you. Because there's people out there in this community in Arlington is that are in pain. Child custody cases. And Sue cried and cried and cried. See, they're in pain. They don't need to know what's right and what's wrong. Is it this or is it that? They need to know somebody cares. Somebody loves. Somebody will put their arms around. And our witness has to be, we will go and say, you knew what I was like. I met Jesus. And through His grace, His power, and His love, this is what He's done in my life, and He'll do it in yours. Go and look at the ministry of Christ. Preach very few sermons, always to the Pharisees, the religious people. That's who He dealt hardest with. But for the sinner, He always gave them hope. He always pointed them to a better way. You know, Jesus is so kind that sometimes we miss. One of the great stories in the Bible is the woman in adultery. Brought her here. They thought they were going to trap Jesus. The very accusers, one of them was her uncle. And the rest of them had sex with her. And they bring that woman and say to Jesus, the law says stone her, what do you say? So they thought they had him. If he let her go, well, he doesn't even believe in the law of Moses. And if he stoned her, belied everything that he was preaching. What did he do?
He stooped down and wrote in the sand.
Why?
Didn't want to embarrass him.
Boy, that's worth a dollar. I'm telling you. That, oh, yes, sir. That's worth a dollar. And you get paid with the right answer in this class. Absolutely. Do you see the kindness of him? He could have said, Hey. Bent down, began writing. I don't know what he wrote, but I have a good imagination. Holiday End, Thursday, 4 p.m. Uh-oh. That man slowly backed away. Motel 6, 7:30, Monday night, cheapo. That man slowly backed away. He wrote something in the sand that every one of them said, oops, that's me. Do you see how kind he was? If there was ever a time to point out sin, if there was ever a time to give a Bible study, if there ever was a time to whip out a track, if there was ever a time to look at his card and say, man, I got a chance to give 7 Bible studies here, that was it. But God is not like that. And so he just calmly wrote the sin or the date, whatever he wrote. Then when he finished, he kept hearing as he was writing, clunk, clunk. Kept hearing those stones falling. And when he looked up, who was there?
Her.
Now this is a time really to give a good Bible study. But as always, if he was kind enough to these hypocrites, he's going to be kinder to the sinner herself. Had he simply asked a question, lady, where are your accusers? She looked up. Nobody. Then he said the most powerful words a human being wants to hear. What did he say to her? Go. In the Greek, that is a lifestyle. Go and find another path that doesn't continually leave you in sin. You see, there's only 2 choices in this life. There is no middle fence, as the great Bob Dylan says. You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord, or it may be the devil, but you got to serve somebody. There's only 2 paths. You know, we think a lot of times, I was real comfortable thinking that there was a fence I'd just kind of ride, and, you know, and then when we got close to the time of the end, just kind of fall over on the good side and be ready. See, that's what happens if you're a record keeper. Hey, I'll clean up my act, get my books balanced when the time comes, see? But there is no middle fence. You go that direction or you go that direction. And Jesus was saying to her, very nicely in the Greek, lady, you tried that direction. Don't go down it anymore. Think of what God has done in your life. Think when you were at the lowest in your life. Did you feel Him? Did you know He was there? Brothers, sisters, Christians, they heap stuff on you, or they say, well, you know, I'd like to be your friend, clean yourself up. When you do, I'll come back. See? But God does not let go ever. If you run, He'll come. David found that out. He said, though I'm in hell, you are there. So yes, I believe in reporting to the church. I believe that we have the right to stand up to the church and humbly share what God through a person has done for other people. That is encouraging. We need to know that God is at work. We need to know that God is creating miracles. We need to share that. Record keeping, to respond to those that care, to let God them know that God's working in the midst, absolutely. Record keeping, so we have a chance to say, hey, look at me. Remember our motivation in evangelistic series? I'm going to test y'all. If you brought so many people, what did you get? A family Bible. Had to come every night, and you get a family Bible. Man, I know people in the El Paso church that fought. I'm not making this. Fought over who brought who. You can't make this up. You see, that's what that type of religion does. And you know what the person that they were fighting over, if it had one lick of sense, would have said? Let me out of here. Our God is great. Our God is awesome. Our God is loving. Our God is kind. We have nothing as Seventh-day Adventists to ever be ashamed of what God is. Let's tell the people who He is, what He's done in our lives, and what He'll do in your life. When we do that, we'll not only have a great report, we'll have people coming, because the greatest compliment Seventh-day Adventists can ever get is not the right day, the right amount of time, the right food, the right that, is those people care. Father in heaven, You're so good to us. We're the ones that kind of mess this whole thing up. But help us keep our sights upon You, Your gentleness, Your love. Help us to study and learn about You every day. Not to report, not to say, I read my Bible through this year. To get to know You. When that happens, my Father, then we've got to get up. We've got to tell somebody. I'm thankful that through Your grace, I can share what You've done in my life. Be with these people, give them a good Sabbath rest, and draw closer to them. Let them know Your only objective in life is that they get to know You so that You can spend eternity with them. That's why You're beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.